Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you're having a wonderful Sabbath day and a wonderful weekend. We had a great time at the event last night. It was good to see many of you out there. And maybe one day you'll get a chance to hear the message that I actually prepared for that night. Maybe. Well, a few weeks ago, Brother Aaron gave a message about us prioritizing our lives and being intentional with how we do things. If there's a business, and the business fails, or the business is losing money, generally, the CEO gets most of the blame. He's in charge. He's in charge of the marketing. He's in charge of the production. He's in charge of the sourcing of material. He even delegates people to take responsibility for various aspects of the business, but if it fails, he's ultimately responsible. You know that saying, the buck stops here? Well, that's the guy. But it's the same way when a company is successful, it's profitable, it's making a lot of money, it's doing well, it's expanding into new markets. The CEO gets a lot of the credit. Sometimes the CEO gets all the credit. Even though there are other moving pieces, the CEO gets credit when things are good, and the CEO takes the blame when things are bad. If you were to get to the end of your life, and you did not get the love, the peace, the prosperity. If you got to the end of your life and you didn't achieve salvation, whose fault is that? Who gets the blame for that? Is it the circumstances you grew up in, the things that happen to you? The same way, if you did get to the end of your life and you were able to achieve love and peace, prosperity, salvation, did that just happen to you? Or did you do things to make those things happen? You are the CEO of your life. And if something is going to change in your life, you're the one that's going to have a big part in making that change. The title of my message today is It's a Matter of Time. It's a matter of time. So as the CEO, chief executive officer of your life, you control the levers. You have a say in what comes into your life and what goes out of your life. You have a say in what you read. And what you watch, you have a say in the people that you surround yourself with. Now, as we will read, not everything in life is in your control. There's so many things in life that are out of our control. We had a celebration for one of my kids, and we were going to take them to Cedar Point. That was the plan. And we invited friends. We cleared the day out of the calendar, no work. And about 2 days before, they said they were supposed to have a really, really bad storm in the Sandusky area. And they did have that storm. So we didn't go. It was awful. There was another year for Winter Family Weekend. Again, we cleared our calendars. We were prepared to go down to Kentucky for Winter Family Weekend, and a forecast came. There was going to be an ice storm, and there was going to be snow and freezing weather, and the weather was just going to be awful. And again, we made the decision not to go, even though we committed ourselves and said, yeah, that's what we want to do. We decided not to go. I know a lot of people did go, and I heard you guys had a very interesting experience that year. But we didn't go, because not everything in life is in our control. There's a God, there's a devil, there are other human beings, and there are circumstances. All of those play a part. But what we can control is our responses to those situations and how we react to them. So as the CEO of our life, how do we run our organization? In the book of Colossians, chapter 4, there's some interesting counsel on how we should govern ourselves. It says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. In 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27, I'm going to continue on that theme. So here the first theme is, you know what? This sounds like an intentional life that's making the best use of the time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, it says, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I like Proverbs 13, verse 4. It says, the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. You know, Hebrews says that God rewards those who diligently seek him. You know, diligent is characterized by a steady, earnest, energetic effort. You know, I've given the example that if someone wanted to be a Division I college athlete, no matter how talented they are, if they only showed up to practices once a month, would they be able to perform and execute? No, they wouldn't. Not at D1. Doesn't matter how talented you are. Or if someone is pursuing a career or wanting to build a business, but they only showed up to work 2 days a week, or they always showed up to meetings late, is that diligence? So here the writer of Proverbs is telling us something. In Corinthians, Paul is telling us something. In Luke 14, verse 28, the Messiah gives us this analogy. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it. So how are you going through life as the CEO of your life? Because just like with that CEO, if that business succeeds or fails, we blame the CEO. At the end of your life, if you are able to receive that gift of salvation, if you are able to enjoy love and peace, which are fruit of the Spirit, do you have a hand in that? And what role does circumstances have? So, diligence and being intentional. You know, when Brother Aaron gave that message about the things we need to focus on and what we should do, I said to myself, you know what? I need to take an audit of my life. You know, so that's something you do in companies, right? You audit things from time to time to make sure everything is where it's supposed to be in the right quantities and things like that. So I did an audit of my life, and I wrote down some observations, things that I thought I was good at, some things that I said, you know what, maybe I'm not so good at. And then I presented the audit to my toughest critics, my wife and kids, to see what they thought. Hey, how can I improve? How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better father? And I made some commitments. I said, you know what? Yeah, I did teach you guys how to pray, and we pray as a family, but I need to pray over my children more. That's something that I took from that. I need to be more serious about my health, and I'm going to take these steps about it. I'm wasting so much time. You know, because we talk about being intentional and being diligent, that means you are moving with a purpose. So what is your purpose? Or are you just out here? Like, hey, I might go over here, I might go over here. We do not know how long we have on this earth. We don't. In James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. We don't even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil, and whoever knows the right things to do and fails to do it, for him, it is a sin. So even when we talk, we need to be intentional in making sure that God is involved in our plans. We need to be intentional and prayerful. Do we do that? Or do we just take for granted that, you know what, because I am, I don't know, 45 years old, it means I have at least another 35. Maybe if I'm lucky, I might get another 45. Is that how we think? So how do we plan? How do we plan? And what do those plans look like in our daily lives? Do you know the average Netflix account holder spends 2 hours per day just watching Netflix? That's what they released on their stock report to their shareholders. Because they can monitor and see how sticky, that's the term, their services. How about this? Do you know that the average user of YouTube, the average user of Netflix, spends 180 and 10 hours every year just scrolling. So that's before you actually find something that you want to watch and you click on it, you spend that amount of time just searching. They do that on Netflix, they do that on YouTube. That's 5 days every year in just scrolling. So back to the context of James 4. What do you want to do with your life? As the CEO, you must have some plans. I'm looking at a bunch of CEOs. Right? And what did we talk about? If the company fails, we blame the CEO, right? If the company does well, the CEO gets the credit. So what plans do you have, CEO? For love and peace and prosperity, for salvation and hope in your life. Have you prayed about them? Are you intentional about them? And then are you breaking that down to daily actions? How much time do you make for God in your life? First time I did this presentation, it was in 2010. I was pastoring the Detroit church then, and I did an audit. That's why I liked when Brother Aaron gave that message. I did an audit, and I passed it out to the congregation. Still have it. It looks like this. So it's a spreadsheet with four columns, basically. And the columns are, how much time did you spend on it? What was the task? What kind of category was it in? And what was the priority? And I gave my church a week to fill it out. And they didn't fill it out. Back then, my preaching style was a bit different. People used words like cutthroat to describe it, or bad cop to describe it. So they didn't turn it in, and I'm like, wait a minute, y'all know I'm cutthroat and I'm bad cop, and you didn't turn in your homework? Okay, this is what we're going to do. No Bible studies until everybody turns in that homework. And here's the thing, you didn't have to turn it in to me, right? Because I'm not your judge. I wasn't like super deacon worldwide, no. But it's something, you're accountable to yourself. You're accountable to God, not to me. I wanted everyone to do it. And we all learn from it, right? I didn't exempt myself. I didn't get a pass on it. Everybody doing it. And it wasn't good. It wasn't good. You know, the thing is, so as the CEO, you're at that high-level view looking at all the things you do. But when you go to day-to-day, unless you are intentional, you are wasting time and mismanaging your life in areas that you don't even realize you're doing. My wife and I, we have been known to binge watch a series or two here and there. But that can't be your whole life. That can't be your whole life. That's not truly emotional bonding. If you watch 2 or 3 hours of television with your spouse, and that's your intimate time, there's a good chance your relationship might be getting worse and not better. Because you're not directly interacting, just sitting next and on the screen. You might talk about it a little bit. So there are many things. I don't just want to pick on Netflix. right? But we waste time on everything from video games to gossip. Social media. I love social media. I'm on social media. But how many hours per day are you going to spend on those things? How much time do you make for God? So as the CEO of your life, I ask the question to begin with, what do you want to do with your life? What do you want to do with your life? So the first step is what we said in James 4. You pray about it. If the Lord wills. That's the first step. But the second step, CEO, is are you just wishing for it? Or are you intentional about it? Are you intentional about it? So one thing that I'm intentionally doing, and I've been doing it for about a year and a half, because as an entrepreneur, I've decided, you know what? When I am on social media, I'm going to spend that time listening to other entrepreneurs and looking at their ideas. Since I'm a real estate expert, they say, I'm going to listen to other real estate experts. And guess what? It's helped me get better as a business owner and as a real estate investor. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 17, it says, let the favor of God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. That is a prayer that I pray over my children. I'm intentional about that. Each and every one of them, I pray that over them. So one of these entrepreneurs, very successful, he said, I always thought something was wrong with me. I always thought something was wrong because I was different. I don't think like other people. And that's what the Bible says about us. The Bible says we're supposed to be strange. We're supposed to be peculiar. We're not supposed to be like the average Netflix user. When those CEOs pull their reports, if you do have Netflix, we don't. But if you do, your usage stats shouldn't look like everybody else's. When they pull the stats for the top 10 visited websites on the internet, your usage shouldn't look like everybody else's. You should be strange. You should be peculiar, because that's what the Bible says. So it's intentionally peculiar when I walk up to my children at random times when they're doing things, put my hands on their head and their shoulder and say, Our Father who art in heaven, I thank you so much for blessing me with my daughter, Abriana. Father, I pray that you open doors for her that no man can close. Father, I pray that you bless her days. I pray you bless her health. I pray you bless her with a God-fearing spouse, Father. I pray you bless her with good health. I pray you help them to raise God-fearing offspring, Father, because you desire God-fearing offspring. I pray that you allow her to be committed to you, your ways, your truth. And I thank you for her. Help me to be a good father for her. In the name of our high priest, cover her in the blood. Amen. Yeah. I've always prayed for favor and blessing, but it's intentional. Right? Because I know what distraction is out there. Right? Everybody wants their time. Everybody wants their attention so that they can make merchandise of us and our children. One of my mentors told me this a while ago. He said, you know what, Steve? All these free products they have, okay? All these free products they have. When the product is free, okay, you are the product. You're the product. Oh, wait, what? You're the product. Oh, what does that mean? I don't get it. Oh, is that why when you talk about buying a new pair of socks, okay, ads for socks just pop up? Okay, yeah. Maybe it'll click later. So we're praying intentionally. See, Psalm 90, that's an intentional prayer. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. That's intentional. So in a matter of time, in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 8, it talks about a time for love, a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace. So we have all these different times that are going on. But in Psalm 33:11, it says, the plans of the Lord stand firm, and the purposes of his heart through all generations. So we get our plans as CEO in line with his. We have something that can withstand the hate and the war, because those times will come. Can you stand through them? So as a CEO, whatever goal you have, and you're intentional about, the objective is not to make that goal easier. You understand that, right? It's like I gave the analogy about deadlifting or squatting. If you want to squat 500 pounds, 500 pounds does not get 400 pounds. It doesn't turn into 300 pounds. The only way that you're going to lift that is you have to get stronger to lift that, and it doesn't happen overnight. Another entrepreneurial influencer that I listened to, he said, you know what? I believe that if someone is reasonably intelligent, reasonably ambitious, and they're willing to work super hard, and they give me 10 years, that I could turn just about everyone into a millionaire. His words, not mine, but I think that's an accurate statement. That has nothing to do with how easy it is. Just like that, you know, 500-pound squat. You know, if you're a male in high school, and you're 13 and 14, and you have a goal of squatting 500 pounds by the end of high school, that's something that you can do. It's doable. People do it all the time. Or 400. Or 300, I don't know what it would be for a woman, I'm sorry. I should get that. But there's, it's doable. So these goals, again, I go back to that question that I asked you. What do you want to do with your life? Okay, so what do you want to do with your life? Then what steps are you taking? How are you praying about that to do that in your life? We know that for everything there's a season, as it says in Ecclesiastes. So how do we work with God in the seasons of our life? In Psalm 90, if we go down to verse 10, it says, the years of our life are 70 or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are gone soon, and we fly away. Paul also says something like this. Paul says, in life you'll see many troubles. Amen. 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 Right? You know, there's so much sin in this world that even the blessings come with pain, right? Every parent in this room can say amen. The mamas can say it more, but the dads, we can say it too. And the good comes with the bad. But in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. So I'm asking you again, what do you want to do with your life, CEOs? What do you want to do? So are you intentional about it? I mean, maybe there's somebody who doesn't want love, peace, prosperity, salvation. But if that's what we want, what are we doing about it every single day to get that? How are we managing our time? If we were to audit our time from this past week, the last 7 days, if you were to do an audit of your time, does it reflect that you want love, peace, prosperity, salvation? How much time did you spend praying for yourself, for other people, to become a better person? How much time did you spend praying so that you get stronger every day so that one day you can squat that 500 pounds? So are you wishing for it, or is it intentional? See, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Because that is what it takes. That's one of the things it takes to get those goals. We're supposed to be peculiar, right? That's not normal. We're supposed to pray. That's what, one of the things. We have to make that time for God. You see, in Luke 11:14, the Messiah gives us an example of calling people to him in verse 18. And he calls them, but they're all making excuses. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I've bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I must go examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. See, it sounds to me like these people were just so busy living life. You know, I love these examples because not one of these examples is necessarily a bad example. It sounds like these people were being productive. They were living life. They were doing what we do when we live life. You know, he's buying a field. That's great. You know, he bought 5 yoke of oxen. He's going to check it out. That's a very good endeavor. The one said, I married a wife. I mean, but if you don't seek ye first the kingdom of God with your time, and if you don't pray without ceasing, but you still want that love, that peace, that prosperity, that salvation, these kinds of things, whether you're buying a field or oxen or in your marriage, need to be in alignment with God. Because his plans don't fail. How does that work? In Mark 1, verse 35, it says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed, and he went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." You ever wonder how Jesus got that strength? Because sometimes in this world, and this is Jesus here, right? You can't find a community. You can't find a group of people that you can truly pray with. You got to do it by yourself. Right? It's not just in the morning. Sometimes at work, you know, you need to take a break, go out to your car, go to the bathroom somewhere where you can have 2 or 3 minutes and say a prayer. Sometimes in this world, you need it. Like, for real. Pray for your sanity, right? People are crazy. Pray that people don't do something to you. Pray that you don't do something to them. I'm saying, I mean, I work in Detroit. It can be interesting sometimes. Pray for that covering. So, I started this intro asking, if a business fails, whose fault is it? And if it succeeds, who gets the credit? So what are your plans? What do you want out of life? CEOs, do you want love? Do you want peace? Do you want prosperity? Do you want salvation? So what does that audit of your time say? Because those 2 hours a day isn't helping you for that love, that peace, that prosperity. It's helping Netflix stock. And they brag about it in their Boer report. October 2024, you could check it out. What are you searching for, seeking and knocking? Is it just 110 hours every year scrolling, looking for something? 5 whole hours in a day. Uh-huh, okay. What do you think you'd look like if you spent 2 hours every day at the gym? How healthy do you think America would be if that's what we spent 2 hours every day doing? How much more intelligent you could be if you spent 2 hours a day reading or learning a new skill? How much closer to God would you be if you spent 2 hours a day reading the Bible or praying? There's a whole other 22 hours that I'm not even talking about, not even touching. It's two. February 2026. What is February 2026? I'm glad you asked. That's 6 months from now. It's going to be cold. So we read that, you know what, time and chance can happen, that we need to say if it's the Lord's will, but generally, according to Psalms, we have, you know, 70, maybe 80 years. People are living longer now. I don't know if the quality of life is as good, but, I mean, that's for other people to decide. But what if you only had 6 months to live? And February 2026 is, you're out of here. Would your priorities change? Or would you be determined to beat that video game? I got 6 months and I gotta beat it. Or I gotta watch the next season of this, binge watch the next season of this anime. Is that still a high priority? I think if you only had 6 months, the tolerance for some of the nonsense that you spend time on now would probably go away, right? It wouldn't seem as important. It'll show you what your priorities are. So, it's a matter of time. I would like you, and you don't have to share it with me. Aaron is the pastor, I just help him out, so I'm not going to ask you to audit your time, but I think you should. I think you should look at last week and say, you know what? I did spend a little too much time in front of, I don't know, the Netflix idol. Or the galaxy god. Or the iPhone Baal. Maybe, I don't know. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be exceptional. Don't let this world, with its mediocre goals, deter you from taking the actions that make you great. See, achieving love in this lifetime is great because most people don't really do that, right? Finding peace in this life is rare. Most people don't do that. Most people don't truly even really prosper. They might have money, but they're not prospering. And salvation, that's priceless. So I hope as the CEO of your lives, you realize that you are in charge. You are in control of so many of the factors that determine your success in all of those fields. And the good news is, everything that you're not in control of, he is. So if we spend our time praying, connecting, and fellowship with the one who can control everything that we can't, and we're aligned in his vision, because Psalm says his plans don't fail. No, they don't. And we're aligned in that vision. And he wants us to be these peculiar people that are going to stand out. And while everyone says, yeah, that's where my 2 hours are going to go, and I'm going to spend 110 hours over here, we're moving differently. We're moving the way our Father wants us to. Because as the CEO of our lives, we can determine our success.